evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. That meets weekly on frequency 146.955 MHz. The 2-meter repeater of Chestnut Ridge Radio Club located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL for this repeater is 141.3, and
Alrighty,
Try any other whiskeys. Okay. How about Kilo?
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Delta Juliet, Walt with the question.
Good evening, Walt with a question. All right. WDJ, we got you in here. Any other kilos?
This is Kilo Delta 2, Lima Hotel, India. Just listen.
Okay, Lima Hotel, India. Who are you and where are you?
Mark Hackensack.
Very good, Mark. Are you a C mark or a K mark?
The correct one, the K.
Well, I don't know. Many of my French friends would take exception to that, but okay. very good, no problem. KD2LHI, welcome aboard. All right, any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Lima Hotel, Hotel. Name is Mike. I'm just listening, none of the above.
You guys related?
Correct, we are. That's my brother. How'd you guess?
I just took a wild ass guess, actually. Sequential call sign, Mike and Mark. Oh, dear me. The only thing more outrageous would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But anyway, let's move on. You're welcome aboard. Actually, before we move on, Mike, where are you located?
Maywood, out of Maywood. Yeah, interesting, right? You hit it right on the head there. Right on the head. Good job. Well done.
I just have a sense for these things after a while. Well, very good. Welcome to Ham Radio to both of you, too. We'll talk more about that in a moment. We're probably going to ping you both during that, so don't be strangers. All right. Any other kilos? About November's. Okay, we are Novemberless. How about Alphas? Be ever popular, Alphas.
AC2GI, no comment, no question.
Evening, Richard. You must be getting a hankering for Follinsby and Fish Creek and places like that. You're getting toward that itchy time of the year. All right, AC2GI, any other Alphas? Any other stations, any call signs? Okay, let's start off then with Don, W2JDK, K2BAR.
All right, K2BAR, and then that's W2JDK. Take it in, everybody. Comments first. As you know, Barra runs VE test sessions, and our next VE test session will be on September 16th, the Friday night at 7 p.m. And this will be at the Township of Washington Senior Citizen Center on 350 Hudson Avenue. That's the building where we have our club meetings also. It's on just off of Pascack Road, across the street from the little strip mall there. And you're coming, the test fee is still $15. You need a photo ID or something like a passport or a driver's license. Or two forms of non-photo ID. You have a license, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And use a calculator you may. If your memory must be empty, you cannot use a cell phone, iPod, or whatnot as a calculator. And that just about covers it on that. Any questions about that before we go on? Okay, nothing heard. This is WTJK again. We do have some special things. There are people who had a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987, and paper upgrade to general because this work code went away. And the only difference in the licenses was the fact that the code speed for a tech was 5 words a minute, and the general was 13. If the code went away, we can do a paper upgrade. Also, people whose licenses have expired beyond the 2-year grace period can get back into the game if they have had a general advanced or extra class license by taking the current technician exam. They will get license credit. If they had a general license, they'll get a general license. They will have if they had an advanced license, they will get a general license also, because there are no more advanced classes being issued. And if they had an extra class license, they'll get an extra class back. They won't have to take all the big exams and get the technician class under their belt. And anybody have any questions about exams at this time? Back to that 72 day thing.
W2TTT.
Glenn, do you have a question?
And that's why I use my own call sign, just to sit there and make that clear. Yeah, so I don't know if you saw, but the ARRL, in its infinite wisdom, is commissioning the ad hoc committee. The board is commissioning an ad hoc committee to study the possibility of creating a new entry level license, one with fewer privileges and one that would get people at least on board with lower grade privileges, because there was concern that the folks who get into amateur radio now with current technician as entry level license have a whole lot of privileges, and gee whiz, is that just scary that they can run 1500 watts on all sorts of frequencies, blah blah blah. Now, I don't know, that was the stated concern, but my question is, do we really need another entry level license? I'm not convinced of that, actually. I'm more than one to suggest that we can make it easy to become a ham in order to get active, but let's assume that there was an entry level license. What would we suggest it to be? 50 watts, 100 watts, 2 meters, 6 meters, linear? What would we consider an amateur radio entry level license for both specifications? What deprecated form of privileges would you consider appropriate for that? What would the exam look like? I'm just kind of curious if I could throw it out there.
Do I have it?
You get the answer to the first one. You get the first grenade.
I had a novice license in 1951. And he had three frequencies. He had 80 meters from 3700 to 3750. CW, crystal controlled, 75 watts input. CW, of course. He also had a portion of what was then the 11 meter ham band, which nobody liked, because second harmonic fell right a channel through, and transmitters in those days were not TV accurate. Likewise, I don't think there's like 11 meter gear being made either. And the third option was 2 meters, 145 to 147 megahertz AM or CW or modulated CW, tone CW. And that's actually how I made my first contact. We had a 2 meter, my father had a 2 meter rig with a converter ahead of a communications receiver. And I used a ground plane and 18 watts input, and I worked, pretty good distance with, considering that where I was located, AM and all that. So I don't think. Let me put that stop in a second. I don't think putting. I think some of these things, like what are the novice enhancements they gave the novice? 20 megahertz. 20 megahertz is 5 watts now. So All right. If it does, maybe good on a repeater or something like that. But I don't, they did have at least AK-40 later on, they got 10 meters, and it was doubling at single side. The only problem with 10 meters is that at the bottom of the sunspot cycle, it's only good for local communications, and that's what I'm saying. So, putting the guy, they say you hit the car, you can give him a key to the ignition. You see what I'm driving at. So you've got to have something that's useful, and I think the technician writes as good as it is. Let's get down to the handband, and do have CW privileges on 8040 and 13, and but still 10 meters. So there's still has a lot of variety. You can work the excess of the 40-80 and 8-meters.
How about anybody else?
KC2, WDJ.
Go ahead, Walter.
Hey, so, as it is right now, I have no problem with the current setup. But if they were to change it, I don't necessarily think it would be a bad thing. And I remember months ago now, I posed a question to the TechNet, how did you first get into radio? And I noticed that the majority of people got into it through CD, which of course, I believe at one time you needed a license or whatever, and after a while you didn't need a license for that at all, and it was too late to get into the hobby. So, if we had an even easier test, people were limited to 2 meter, 440, 25 watt max, and something real easy to get their feet wet into, especially with the explosion of these Chinese radios. I think it would help bring even more people into the hobby. But limited to just those frequencies, and once they get their feet wet, they'll want to start exploring HF, and then they'll start going up the ladder. Get out and where the beam will direct contact, that's
anybody have any questions? Sorry, Don.
This thing, I have a Yaesu here, and I'm not really familiar with the program. It's very new to me.
So try it, a VFO maybe. But we need to repair the connection to the transmission. So, does anybody have any? Anybody else have any difficulties getting to 146.835?
I have this ancient Yaesu that only has the one TL tone on it, so I can listen, but I can't talk.
He was on it for the call, so we'll try to make that structure. I'm going to ask everybody to have that ready to go for next week. Have a radio going for next week. Actually, next week, I'll be running the 50-50, so I'll be running the net because it's a big money fair. So I guess we'll say, but boy, I'd be curious as to what people have some other ideas. What would the lights in the camp look like? If you said, no vanity call, your lights, and limit on the power allocation, your 100 watts, like 100 watts, and maybe a limitation on going, no crossband operation or something. What else? How that works out. Maybe a 2-year limit on the license, kind of forcing people to upgrade, and that might be something as well. So anyway, anybody else have thoughts?
You know, a lot of people who had those novice licenses, they weren't able to upgrade for some reason or another. And
All right. Anybody else comments on this one? John, you want to add anything else about Mike's
thing? No, I don't right now. I did have a question when the time comes.
VAR. John, it's your question.
Okay, the other day, during the lightning storm, I was watching a lightning display out thing on the computer, whipsorthub.org. I've seen lightning flashing in on me and the other lightning, and I don't see anything coming up on the switch that comes out on the device. I'm just wondering if that only reports the ground strike, or just pick them all up for some reason, or what? I'm just curious, or what do other people do for
Lake, watching it. That's pretty cool, to say the least.
I guess we'll have to assume that this is about the ground strike. How they do it, I don't know. I guess they did the worldwide thing. You know, you pull that thing up to get a well map.
For what it's worth, there was some level 4 and level 5 stuff going through Sussex County, hit its northeast. And now you're seeing the 4s and 5s up in New York State, and that's where all your lightning is going to be centralized to right now also.
Okay, that's the size of the, if you're looking at that thing, is there a certain diameter, is that what you're referring to?
Now, generally, if you're going to see lightning, if you look at the very bright, depending on the radar display, very bright red mark, and the higher colors and the higher rates of rainfall, that's generally going to see most of the lightning in and around that area. You got light greens, that's almost nothing. Darker greens, you start to get rainfall hitting the ground, and you don't see as much lightning there, you see very little. And I say usually.
What side are you looking at, Bruce? Over.
Looking at the Blitzertug site, but I also look at the National Weather Service on a number of different charts, and I just look at the radar images coming through.
Guys, these are ground strikes. That's what the animation is showing you.
Back to that, WCJK. I'll consider the big part.
Okay, just for your reference, they are ground strikes. That's what's being recorded here, and there's a line of something 20 to 40 minutes old that's sitting across High Point, scattering its way northward towards Monroe and Woodbury, actually north of Monroe and Woodbury, and then up near Hopewell Junction, where the Wapentake Falls is where it's more current right now, and also the Keegan Lake, another set of strikes over there by the whole pack of peaks. You can actually see it on the map. It's pretty impressive. Very good. Other requirements coming up. been very good.
Pretty cool. I also can just turn on a spectrum analyzer and look, which I probably should do. Need to put up a 930 meg Yagi on a rotator anyway. That's going to be my next thing, is to somehow get that Yagi rotating so that I can, you know, zero it on you and then go from there. Also get a little more height underneath it. Alrighty. Anything else on mesh?
That's pretty much it. So, as I mentioned, I reinstalled my ArdenNet load to a higher position on the back of the house, and it's just working on its internal antenna and points mostly at your GPA. But I'm not really hearing anything other than just my other unflashed ubiquity node. It'll pick it up when I do a Wi-Fi scan. Over.
So what's it picking up? Sorry, what is it picking up in Wi-Fi scan?
Oh, yeah, the when I Wi-Fi scan on the Arden node, I can note the presence of the unflashed ubiquity node and the UPnP port, ID, the name of it, and so on. It's like on, I think I have it on like 907 megahertz, whereas the Arden node is on 917.
Gotcha. Very good. All right. That's certainly useful. It's also noted, you know, it's nice to have an extra node available to use as a, unconfigured for, to use it as a, essentially a really smart spectrum analyzer for that band, but I don't know. The good news is I have a spectrum analyzer. But, it would be really lovely to have an extra 900 meg node. Right now, that's not in the budget. Alrighty. Let's see. KC2WDJ, your ball, KTBAR.
KC2WDJ, I know I said a question earlier, and I'm currently drawing a blank. I don't remember what I wanted to ask, so I'm going to turn it back to the net, and hopefully I remember. Sorry, Gordon.
Good. Just FYI, if anyone's interested in helping out with the Fay County Fair, it's Thursday through Sunday of next week, and it's at Garrett Mountain. And mostly evenings, although I don't know if it's time for Saturday or Sunday. That will also involve daytime, but I don't know how much of daytime. But we do need him to come with 440 equipment. We don't have a 440 HD. Don't worry, we have one to lend you. Not a problem. And we'll be basically doing observe and report exercises and assisting with getting lighting on the golf carts and also getting folks squared away with sheriff's officers squared away with the radios, so they're bringing cash and radios that we have. Lots of general purpose things. If you are so inclined, email me at www.ttt@ERL.net and do it by early next week so I can get you appropriately credentialed. We will be doing some setup and testing on Wednesday during the day. I don't know if we'll be going back in the evening. A little unclear, but we'll see. That's the plan for now. We also deploy a lot of mesh gear, cameras, have a mesh camera and you want to, you know, contribute it to the cause, it has to be basically suitable for being outdoors, and it has to be suitable to run on 12 volts with a Anderson Powerball type power supply. And if you have it on a Linksys box, we really don't need it. And nothing personal, we don't. And but if you have it on Ubiquiti, if you want to flash it to have hardened code, I'd be happy to accommodate that. So we've got a lot of different capabilities and interests and activities to do in support of the fair. It's a multi-day, multi-operational period kind of activity. It's like the real world. So it's not just a one-day thing. It's 4 days with a fifth day to prepare and set up. So that's where we are. Anybody have any questions? Okie dokie. Well, that email will go out on the ComTech group. Again, if you're not a member of the ComTech group, you might want to sign up for that. But it'll also go out on PC Aries, Racy's email list, probably the Red Cross list, and probably get forwarded by Carolina and maybe Dara as well on their email list. So that's where we are. So that brings us to our next topic, which is Mike and Mark. We'll go to Mike first. This is call sign up first. KD2LHH, what made you become a ham? What do you want to do? You get big, as it were.
Well, I guess the old family always had business band. We always had business band around. We've always had radios. Brother happens to be on the fire department. We figured, why don't we do this the right way? Why don't we just get our license? I personally am a Baofeng guy. I'm a big fan of it. Guys, I imagine are not, nor is my brother. Where do I want to go with it? I don't know. No thoughts as of yet. Maybe a little bit of HF. See how that works. Make some contacts like that, I guess. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I like the idea of trying things in different ways. That's all. We like technology and interesting things, computers, things like that. So, I don't know. Answer my question. There you go.
Very good. Well, I think many of us have Piaofengs and Wushans and a few other, radios like that, in addition to some really nice stuff, especially if you've been around a while. So, nothing wrong with those radios. They have their purpose. And they also have some features that are really kind of cool are amazingly advanced for what they are. I mean, they are a system on a chip. Actually, they're two systems on a chip, because you have the transceiver chip, and you have the FM broadcast receiver chip, which is feeding into it. So, very cool stuff, and nothing wrong with that. There are some interesting limitations, like on 442. There's a birdie. A lot of us use 442, but, you know, what do you do? Okay. All right. Mark, your goals and aspirations, and what do you want to do when you get big? Why the hell did you decide to become a ham? KD2LHI, GTBAR.
Well, George, you know, very similar to what my brother said. I was on the fire department, and the way it started a few years ago is... I was always carrying a VHF and a UHF to talk to different towns, and it was getting really old. And I realized you could have one radio to do both. And then when I went to go buy one, they're like, you need a license. So then I kind of gave up for a little while. I learned a little bit more about it, and I was kind of interested in it. And I travel extensively for work, and I spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in a plane. And one day I picked up a book about ham radio, and I started realizing a lot of the coursework, I guess you could say, is extremely related to what I do for work.
to the point where I've actually incorporated some of the training material into our new employees coming on board. So what do I want to do? Well, I think being able to make contacts halfway across the world is pretty cool, and I'd like to do it in reverse and try to operate from different places. I don't think I can ever get into the contesting or anything like that, but just, you know, doing things a different way is interesting.
Right, so I got to ask, what do you do for work that's so useful to be cross-pollinated by amateur radio operators?
Well, I work for a machine tool company that makes machine tools, essentially. But they communicate internally, you know, lots of circuit diagrams, lots of working on, you know, interconnection between systems, either, you know, radio frequency, Wi-Fi, I mean, you name it, and it's done electronically these days. And so just being able to, you know, teach a new guy who's maybe a mechanical engineer how to solder, and there's some pretty cool stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's really good. So, just as an aside, I'm kind of, I don't want to go down this garden path too much, but gosh, I hope your wireless security is as airtight as possibly could be, and hopefully better than what's considered state of the art, because, there's all sorts of hacks on that. I can all of a sudden imagine a machine tool, you know, that's, you know, wirelessly controlled, doing some really outrageous things. You know, and we see that with the connected car. It's always entertaining to see a car, you know, jerk to the side of the road and stall. That, if that's all that happens, that's a good thing. I can only imagine what you would do with a machine tool, you know, that would be doing things, or some sort of air handler or some other industrial process could become severely unglued. But I think that's a good idea. I mean, just FYI, I work for a major telecommunications carrier, and there's no doubt in my mind that hams have you know, a bit of a leg up on handling a lot of different things. We have some people who aren't hams who are very good, but the hams seem to come at it from a different set of perspectives, not just one. And that's a good thing. They also tend to be tinkerers, which is also good.
Yeah, George, I definitely agree. I mean, you know, trying to, I think hams and the group of people that we're sort of being introduced are just people who like to find out why things work, and, you know, maybe not going to put the TV at the curb because it, you know, had a bad transistor in it or something like that. But as far as the Wi-Fi thing, that's actually a big symposium going on right now on the West Coast about machine tool nets that are, you know, under threat, I guess you could say.
Yeah, okay. By the way, name is Gordon. Your guess was close, but it's Gordon. But that's great. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of concern in a lot of industries about wired wireless connectivity, Internet of Things, connectivity, security, et cetera. I can assure you that it is priority one in our world. As a corporation, and you know, even for our own needs, it's, you know, a full-scale, full-on effort to keep it right and tight without making it cumbersome. You know, we want effortless, and we want secure. And, you know, it's sort of like the old joke: cheaper, faster, better. Pick two. Yeah, you know, but effortless and secure considered to be polar opposites, but we don't just strive for it, but we actually slowly but surely make it happen. It's pretty cool. There are a lot of conferences that are hacker conferences, and you can find their videos online, and you can learn an awful lot from watching them, and really cool stuff. So do keep that in mind. One thing I will point out is that your Bialfun or your Bushan, they can be used pretty easily to interface to your computer or your phone, either acoustically or hardware-wise. And you can do a lot of the digital modes without having to go out and buy an interface. It's truly amazing how well that works. So, you can keep that in mind as well. MT63-2000 is commonly used acoustically coupled. I was doing PSK31 the other day with my phone copying stuff that was coming out of the speaker of my mobile without having to even wire it. It was pretty cool. So there's plenty of stuff out there to have fun with for digital modes. And of course, mesh networks like the ARDS and Amateur Radio Emergency Data Network. We tend to use Ubiquities, but it's not limited to Ubiquity as well. We've got some other hardware support. We can do it on a bunch of bands. That's what Bob and I were talking about earlier. We're trying to make a path, a 4-mile path on 900. I think there's just a bunch of small little things that are in the way, including some trees.
Well, sorry about that, Gordon. I'm not that great with names, which is surprising because I'm in customer service. But, definitely very interesting stuff. One thing I'd really like to be able to do one day is be able to, even without cell phone signals, send an email pretty much worldwide if possible.
Look at Winlink. Winlink is definitely an avenue to do that. That's one thought. There's even some packet radio gateways that you can send an email via that method and then get forwarded on Windows. So there's stuff like that too. So it's all good. Don't worry about the name. I've been called far worse. In any case, I was going to suggest though that look at some of these other technologies, because there's a lot of good stuff that you can leverage your ham radio and kind of tinker and get a sense for how it really works and the like. There's also a way to make a spectrum analyzer that'll work from about 30 megs to about 18 or 1900 megs using a DVB-T dongle that you can buy for 10 or 15 bucks. And you can put it on your PC, you can put it on a Raspberry Pi, you can put it on any number of things. It'll give you a real basic spectrum analyzer, but it'll be good enough to use for most things. It won't be super calibrated, but that's not the requirement. The trick is just to characterize the signals and stuff, but you can do that too, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, I've been kind of reading up on the Winlink thing, but I do appreciate the information. Thanks.
Alrighty. Anybody else have anything to add tonight?
What?
Well, is there somebody? I might go.
If you got into the digital modes like CMR and D-Star and the other one, Fusion, a lot of those have, they're linked through the internet and they have data modes and you can pass IP data through them. So there's another way to do email and other types of things over the internet using ham radio.
Sure. Okay. Good point, Bruce. Alrighty. Speaking of which, Bruce, did you want to check into that, Brady Grant?
Kind of similar to that that we're in at this point, W2FD.
I don't think I ever heard your call. Okay. All right. Very good. All right, everybody. There's all sorts of good stuff. A couple of notes. Tomorrow is the Fair Alarm Radio Club gathering. It's no meeting per se, but they meet at the community center in Fair Alarm from 6 to 9 p.m. There's a full operating shack with four operating positions. HF, VHF, UHF, and of course, you know, the opportunity to do digital as well as other modes. We have folks to talk to and learn. We also have a full electronics lab, and it's always pretty busy. I think tomorrow, I know I'm going to be messing with Tony and with IQ's programming of the Biafong Handy, I think it's a Biafong Handy Talkie. He's got a monobander of some sort that's giving him fits. I'll get the model number. And then I think Ken has a, Ken, KC2UCU has a bricked Ubiquiti node, so we're going to unbrick that. That should be a fine thing to do. And so we'll be playing a little bit with mesh stuff and unbricking things and doing all kinds of fun stuff. I'm not sure how he bricked it, but no big deal. It's easy to unbrick. In any case, let's see what else is out and about on this one. Next Tuesday is Barricade Night over at the Senior Center in Washington Township. So that's at 7. So feel free to come by then as well. Those are the major activities. For those of us who are still working in one of the main things where we can, you know, do technical things and have conversation with people about that. Kind of like, it's the BEF-888-UHF monobander that I have to help Tony program tomorrow. So I'll either use their program or Chirp. He's got a working cable, but for some reason he's not able to program, so we're going to figure that out tomorrow. Someone else wants to bring a laptop and they can figure it out, hey, more power to it. We feel free to delegate. Very good, everybody. It's nice to have a lively group as usual. Walter, before we go, I'm going to give you one more shot to ask your question.
KC2WDJ. I'm going to have to wait until next week. We'll start writing these things down. Sorry, guys. But figured I'd pop in tonight anyway. I know I haven't been on in a while. I'll try and make it the next kid night, too. I know I've been tardy with that. And if anybody actually, I guess I will throw this in there. I've been really needing to try and get on learning CW. And if anybody's in the same boat, kind of been dragging their feet on that, and want to get together to try and reinforce helping each other learn, I'd be interested in that. Well, yeah, back to the group, 52WDJ.
Okay, very good. Well, hopefully we'll see you over the next couple of days yourself, and we'll go from there. Godspeed all, and stay cool in this really oppressive heat. And we'll see you tomorrow or Tuesday. And if you're interested in volunteering for the fair, let me know. So this is KTBAR W2TTT, signing clear, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
KC2WDJ, W2JEK, over. W2.